And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. And King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, the second like a bear, was raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns. And there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom 3 of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Those great beasts which are four are four kings which arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I wished to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured broken pieces and trampled the residue with its feet. And the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up before which 3 fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. I was watching, And the same horn was making war with the saints and prevailing against them, until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Then he said, "The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. The ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. This is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me, and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart." So far, this reading of God's holy word. The psalmist said, "Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments." The text for the sermon this morning is Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, why did God create you? Why are you here on this earth right now? What is the purpose of your life here? Why has God given to you the abilities and the interests and the opportunities that you have? What should you be doing with your time and with your life? Young people, I do not want you to wake up when you are 45 years old or maybe 55 years old and realize that you have wasted your life and you will never be able to get it back again. God has given to us monumental work to do in this life. There are no days of life to waste. There is no time to spare. In these last three verses of Matthew's Gospel, the Lord tells us what we should be doing and why He placed us here in this world. In Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, our Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay for our sins, who was buried and who rose from the dead, gives the great commission to His church before He ascends into heaven, where He sits at the right hand of God the Father. A commission is a charge, an order, a mandate. It is the authority to carry out a mission or a task. It is giving someone the authority to exercise certain powers, to carry out a calling, to fulfill specific responsibilities and duties. A commission is investing someone with authority to do an ongoing task. A commission is sending someone with authority and with a task. The Great Commission is the orders of the greatest prophet, the greatest priest, and the greatest king to his people. The commission in our text is great because it comes from Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, who is greater than Adam, greater than Abraham, greater than Moses, greater than Joshua, greater than David, greater than Solomon. The Great Commission comes with God's own authority. This is the Lord's work. This is the work of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The commission in our text is great because it is the monumental work of the kingdom of the triune God. It is the monumental work of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, who died and rose from the dead and is now sitting at the right hand of the Father in power and glory. The Great Commission is the wonderful, earth-changing task that the Lord has given us to do. It is a monumental task that requires all of our strength, all of our life, and all of our effort. Matthew 28, verse 17 tells us, when the 11 disciples saw Jesus, they bowed down to him and worshipped him, but some of the 11 doubted. Our text says in verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. The 11 disciples could have no doubt that this was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The same person who had been their master these last 3 years, the one who had taught them and all the people with such great authority, such as no man had ever exercised before. This was the same person who was crucified and buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Before our Lord Jesus Christ gave his 11 disciples the office of preaching and teaching the gospel to every creature in every nation on the face of the earth, Jesus told them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Only God has all authority. Jesus is saying, the Father has given me all authority in heaven and earth. What is authority? Authority is the right to rule. Authority is the right to command. Authority is the right to govern. Authority is the right to direct others. It is the right to require their obedience and submission. Those who will not submit do not acknowledge that right to command and require them to obey. They rebel against that right. They rebel against that authority. Jesus Christ has every right to command and require all creatures to obey him. He has all authority in the whole creation, both in heaven and on earth. This should not be a surprise. This was not something new. The prophets of the Old Testament foretold that the Christ would be given all authority in heaven and on earth. For example, Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, the prophet Daniel, through the Holy Spirit, saw a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. He writes, "I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed." And then Daniel tells us that he was grieved in his spirit within his body. The visions he saw troubled him. He came near one of those who stood by, and he asked him the truth of all this. That one who stood by gave Daniel the inspired, true interpretation of the vision Daniel had seen. Those four great beasts represented four kings which rule on the earth. The Lord will replace those four kings with His Son, Jesus Christ, and with the saints who shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. The fourth beast was making war against the saints and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. This fourth kingdom is the Roman Empire. It was different from all the other kingdoms, the great empires that went before. It devoured the whole earth and trampled it and broke it in pieces. The ten horns of the fourth beast are ten kings who shall rule in this kingdom. And after those ten kings, another king will rise, who will be different from the first ten kings. He shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High God. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High God. And God will give the saints into his hand for a period of time. But the court of the Most High God will be seated, and God shall take away his dominion. The triune God shall give the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven to the saints of the Most High God. The kingdom of God Most High is an everlasting kingdom. It has no end. All dominion shall serve and obey the Most High triune God. Through Daniel, the Lord foretold that one day God would give all authority to rule over the whole earth to His Son, Jesus Christ. In Matthew 28, Jesus tells His 11 disciples, that day is here. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Those are the words of the Savior that day to the 11 disciples. Isaiah also foretold this great event, that God the Father would give all authority to the Lord Jesus Christ to rule the whole world. For example, in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, we read, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of armies will perform this." Psalm 2 also foretells that God would give all authority to His own Son, Jesus Christ, to rule over all the nations. David, by the Holy Spirit, writes in Psalm 2, verse 6, the words of God Himself, yet I have set my King on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my Son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. And then there is instruction to the kings and judges of the earth. Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in Him. The Great Commission in our text is not based upon mere human authority. It is not based upon the authority of man. The Great Commission is not something generated or created or envisioned by man. This is God's plan for His creation. This is God's purpose for man. This is God's commission. This commission comes with God's own authority. As the risen Savior and eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ holds supreme divine power to command men. Without supreme authority from God Himself, Christ would not be able to declare that whoever believes in Him will have eternal life. Without supreme divine authority from God, Jesus Christ would not be able to declare that the whole world is under His sovereign rule. It is only on the basis of that supreme divine authority that Jesus Christ, through the truth of His Word, subdues every high thing that exalts itself against Him and brings the whole human race into humility before His holy presence. Because Christ has supreme divine authority, He urges the 11 disciples to have brave confidence in their God-given power and authority to fulfill this great task. By this supreme divine authority, Jesus Christ, as the resurrected Savior and Lord, establishes the faith of His gospel to all ages. The 11 disciples, some of whom doubted, would never be persuaded to undertake such a great task of bringing all the nations under the holy rule of Jesus Christ and His Word, unless they knew, without a doubt, that the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth sits in heaven and is ruling with supreme divine power over heaven and earth. With Christ's supreme divine authority, it would be impossible for the 11 disciples or the church, including you and me today, to achieve anything. We engage in the labor of the Great Commission in the strength of the Lord and with His authority, not in our own strength and not with our own authority. When Jesus Christ tells the 11 disciples in our text that He has all authority, that He sovereignly rules over heaven and earth, and that they go forth as His servants under His authority into all the world to preach the gospel and to teach the whole counsel of God's holy word, this is more than enough help for them, for you and me, for the church of Jesus Christ today to overcome every obstacle in our way. Congregation, if the appearance of those who proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and who teach the word of God is contemptible, and that weakens or hinders your faith in Christ and in His word, then learn to lift up your eyes to the author of the faith Himself. We who hear the word of God must measure the majesty of the gospel according to the supreme divine power of the risen, sovereign, reigning Christ, who is exalted to heaven and who is sitting at the right hand of the Father. If we lift up our eyes to Christ, the author of our faith, we will not dare to consider Him contemptible. He is the one who speaks through His ministers. Our Lord Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. When He draws men by the work of the Holy Spirit through the preaching and teaching and witness of His Word to obey Him and to obey the Scriptures, He is establishing His kingdom on earth. When Jesus Christ regenerates His people by the Holy Spirit and gives them new life and calls them to the hope of eternal salvation, He is opening the gates of heaven to raise them from this earth, to raise them from the abyss of death, to blessed immortality with the angels, in the presence of God Himself, forever and ever. Why does Jesus say in our text that God the Father has given Him all authority in heaven and on earth, if Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, always did have all authority in heaven and on earth? From eternity, Christ, the second person of the Trinity, did have all authority in heaven and on earth. From eternity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all had the same complete authority in heaven and on earth. By that authority, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit created all things by the word of His power. By that authority, the triune God ruled over all things from eternity. When Jesus Christ came in the flesh as the mediator, He had by right, as the Son of God, all authority in heaven and on earth. He had all authority from before the foundation of the world, but He humbled Himself. He made Himself of no reputation. He did not come as the supreme King of all creation, but He came in the form of a bond servant. He came in the likeness of men. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, "And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Although Christ had all authority over all creation from eternity, He did not openly display that authority until He rose from the dead. Jesus Christ was not born in Bethlehem as a royal king, but as a humble servant. He was laid in a manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus Christ does not boast of the eternal power he enjoyed before the foundation of the world, but he speaks of the power and the authority which God gave him as our Redeemer, who has done all the will of the Father perfectly, who has accomplished our complete and eternal salvation. In our text, Christ speaks of the authority that God gave him now, when he raised him from the dead and appointed him judge of the world. Only then did God exalt his Son. Only then did Christ ascend to heaven. Only then did Christ sit at the right hand of the Father in power and glory. Only then did Christ wear the insignia, as it were, of supreme King of all the earth. In Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus not only says that God has given him all authority in heaven and on earth, but he commissions the 11 disciples and all his people to reign with him as we live here on this earth. Jesus says in verse 19, "I have all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all the nations." That's your task. The original commission God gave man at creation was to reign with him over all the earth. Listen to the words of that original commission in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" The Garden of Eden was a pilot project for dominion over all the earth. After the fall, God restated this same commission to Noah to reign over all the earth in Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Reigning with God over all the earth is at the heart of the covenant God made with Noah. The sign of that covenant, you remember, is the rainbow. It stretches through the sky so majestically. God called Abraham and his seed to reign with him over the land of Canaan. God called Moses and the children of Israel out of Egypt to reign with him in the land of Canaan. God gave them his law in written form, and he told them that obeying his law, obeying his holy word, is the means by which we rule with him in righteousness as we live here on this earth. In the 60 or 70 or 80 or 100 years that God might give us. On the other hand, sin undermines godly rule and dominion under God, and brings the judgment and condemnation of the Lord upon us instead. God's commission to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, sets forth this same task for Joshua and for the Israelites in the land of Canaan, reigning with Christ by obeying the word of God and doing the work that he gave us to do. In the great commission from the greater Joshua in our text in Matthew chapter 28, our Lord Jesus Christ commissions us to this great task in all the world. The commission to the first Adam in the Garden of Eden was for all the world too. The Garden of Eden was the pilot plot where man was to learn under God how to reign with him and how to subdue the earth. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, sends out his people into all the world with the command to teach the nations to live in obedience to God. This requires first that man be saved and redeemed from his sin. Man must have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Man must have repentance unto life. Man must be born again from above by the power of the Holy Spirit so that he has a new heart and a new mind and a new will, and he has a new life in Jesus Christ. He must be baptized and joined to the church of God, which is God's holy covenant people. And he must learn to observe or to do all that Christ has commanded us in his holy word. Because Christ is risen from the dead. Because Christ is free from the death penalty required by God's law for sin. We too, who are joined to Jesus Christ by true faith, worked in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, are also therefore delivered from the law's sentence of death and from the dominion of sin and death over us. And this means, brothers and sisters, that Jesus Christ has set us free to reign with Him in godliness, in holiness, in righteousness. Jesus Christ enables you and me to carry out the great commission of having godly dominion over all the earth. Jesus Christ sends us out into all the world to proclaim and extend that holy dominion, that righteous rule of the greatest King, Jesus Christ. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which Matthew has spoken of so plainly and clearly, establishes Christ's dominion over his redeemed people. Our Adam has destroyed the power of sin and death and has made us members of his house and his kingdom. He has commanded us to occupy and to rule over all things in his name and by his authority and with his divine power. The lordship of Jesus Christ is cosmic in time and in eternity. The authority of Christ over his people is not confined to this world, but it extends beyond the grave. He is Lord both of the dead and of the living. All believers have the mind of Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit in them. All believers have the power of the Holy Spirit working in them and through them. God calls us to judge and to govern the world with Christ in and by that power of His Holy Spirit. The work of our Lord was our salvation and the restoration of all God's creation. Our work in Christ by the Holy Spirit is making disciples of all the nations under Christ. The work of atonement is finished in Christ. That is the foundation or the basis of the great commission here in our text. The work of dominion or reigning with Christ continues until Jesus Christ comes again and removes all sin and death from His creation. And then we shall reign with Christ forever in His eternal kingdom without any sin, without any death, without any sorrow or tears or suffering. We work as members of the Son's new humanity in and through the Holy Spirit. Christ invests us with His authority and His power in order that we may exercise His dominion. He makes us redeemed prophets and priests and kings unto God. The Great Commission expands our task to all the earth and to all the nations so that all lands and all peoples and their societies are brought to bow to Jesus Christ and obey God's covenant and God's holy word. The regeneration of all things begins with man's salvation in Christ and then develops the meaning of that redemption in the whole world, in society, in every land, in every nation, in every person. The world fell because man fell into sin. And the world is restored as God restores man to reign with Him in righteousness and in truth. Many of the colonists who came to America in the 1600s and the 1700s understood this. Many of the early settlements in this land were towns in which the people bound themselves to watch over one another in love and by all the means in their power to promote the honor of Christ in their community and the peace and happiness of the whole church of Christ. The hope of the humanist without Christ, man without Christ, is the right policies and the right economic arrangements. By rearranging the world, they hope man will also be changed for the better. After all, he's still evolving. But it never works. You can change the government in Egypt, but apart from Jesus Christ, man is still the same corrupt, fallen person. You can change the law. You can change law after law in our own country. But man is still the same fallen, corrupt person. The path to restoration must begin with recognizing that we are God's covenant people. All that God gives us, we must use to further His covenant as we live in obedience to His commands and to His calling and His commission to us in Jesus Christ. And that, brothers and sisters, is why you are living here on this earth. That is the purpose of your life here. And that is why God created you. And that is why God has given you the years He has and the years that He will yet give to you. And that is why God has given to you the abilities and the opportunities that He has given you. And that is what you should be doing with your life. Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." This means that man cannot live without food. But at the same time, man cannot live by food alone. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God must govern the totality of our life and our possessions. This is the heart of the Great Commission. God requires faithfulness to His Word as the life of faith, as the obedience of faith. Man's prospering depends on his obedience, his faithfulness to the very Word of God, to every word that He speaks. That is why God has saved us. That is what the work of Jesus Christ accomplishes in fallen man and in this fallen world. And as we seek to apply this to ourselves, I ask you two questions. I won't ask you to raise your hands. You answer them in the quietness of your own heart. The first is, are you in Christ by true faith? Are you redeemed and washed by His blood shed on the cross? Are you renewed by His Holy Spirit, day by day, more and more, to live unto Christ? And the second question is, are you submitting to Christ's supreme authority in your life and doing what God has commissioned you to do in this world with His authority? Amen. Father in heaven, what a great task, what a great commission you have given to us. What a great calling we have. Every morning that we wake up, we have a monumental task ahead of us. But a task that should bring us great joy and great hope. Because it is the great work of redemption, and it's working out in history, in our lives, in the world in which we live. We thank you, Father, that you have called us to reign with Christ, to be prophets, priests, and kings unto Him. We thank you for these words of our Lord Jesus Christ, which He first spoke to the 11 disciples after he had risen from the dead. For he told them and tells us that you have given to him all authority, both in heaven and on earth. That he has the right to command all people and all things in all parts of his creation. And that we who are made in his image and who are redeemed by the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, we also share in that authority as humble servants of his, to do his holy will in the place and the way that you have given us to do. Father, show us the beauty of that great work. And may we be found in Christ, trusting in him, joined to him, renewed by the Holy Spirit, and enabled to carry out the great commission in faithfulness, in love, in diligence, to your praise and honor. Father, we long to see the churches filled with those whom you redeem, with those who bow before Christ the King and who worship and serve him with all of their heart. We long to see, Father, all that exalts itself against you removed and replaced by the holy and perfect rule of our Lord Jesus Christ, even imperfectly carried out through redeemed and yet sinful man. Father, we plead and we pray that you might use us as faithful servants and use this congregation and your ministers as faithful servants to carry out this great task until Jesus Christ returns to take us home to glory forever. In his name we pray. Amen.